Ron Van Dam hopes that his show will tickle your fancy. We suggest covering your fancy with both hands. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
No, it's not.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am one of the people mentioned. Thank you for being here. Let's have some fun together. What do you say? What? What do you say? I have a room freshener in my studio. It smells like cherry blossoms in here. A lovely smell, if I don't say so myself. Well, I just did say so myself. Smells like cherry blossoms, man. It's beautiful. This is so the room doesn't smell like the room is supposed to smell like. I'm supposed to close my eyes and think that I'm in a cherry blossom orchard or a chabla blossom off of. But I'm not. I'm in a room that smells like cherry blossoms. I'm tricking myself, you see. I'm tricking myself. I'm fooling myself. It's like when you fall in love for the first time. You're fooling yourself. It's a trick. Remember the time you fell in love for the first time? Did you ever? Those of you that did, you remember it? You could feel it in your body. There were little like tingles. There's actually a chemical, physical reaction when you fall in love for the first time. When you fall in love for the second time, not so much. It's like a one-time thing. It's like a one-time orgasm. You can't have it again. It's not necessarily real. But that's it. Oh, you can fall in love a second time, but it's nothing like the first. Even if the first time was horrendously horrible, nothing's like it. There's nothing. The first feeling, there's nothing like it. Remember when you fell down and hurt your knee and it was like, oh God, I'm so painful, I don't think I'll ever walk again. And you did walk again, and you healed from it, and then you fell down again 10 years later. Not so bad. I'm the king of analogies that make no sense. Thank you. That's all these years of my life, and the only thing that I'm really good at is making analogies that make no sense. It's an art, I suppose. Other people make analogies, and they make some sense. Not mine. Welcome to the program. How are you? Good. That's nice. I'm not going to even wait for you to respond, because there's no point. Here's what you're doing here. If you're driving your car, then you be careful. Keep your eyes on the road. But if you're not driving, then sit down, shut your eyes, relax, and I'll take it from here for about the next half hour. When the show's over, you're going to end up in South Bend, Indiana. Yesterday I decided to go outside and take a walk, and as I was doing it I said to myself, oh my God, I've just decided to take a walk. It's like I've never done this before. I spent all of my day walking from the bed to the refrigerator. Sometimes I'll get up to go to the bathroom and then sit down again. I'm walking. So what's all this thing? I'm going to take a walk. What are you talking about? That's like saying to yourself, you know, I think I'm going to breathe for a little while. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to breathe. It's just so odd to say that. It's so odd. I'm going to walk. Oh, really? That's oddity. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm going to actually take one foot, put in front of the other, and move to another location. Whoa. Ooh, glad you thought that one out and announced it to the public. Well, now that the pandemia seems to be behind us, I will still not go to a gym anymore. And I don't have any sponsors that are gymnasiums. Is that what you call these things? Gyms, workout gyms, whatever. That pandemic ended it for me. Not that I went before, but I at least walked inside and, you know, looked around. And I did. I joined a couple of membership gyms and things. That Purple Planet. What do you call that thing? The Planet Goodness. What do you call that place? I joined it a couple of times and went a couple of times just to humor them. But now I'm not going to those places ever again anymore. Now that I know what disgusting, dripping, sweating people can do to society, it's awful, man. Why is it when you go into one of those gym places, They hire these people to stand at the counter to make sure that when you walk in that you are a member? They're very big on this member thing. It's the only way they make money, I guess. But they hire people to do that. But why don't they hire people to wipe down the machines? Why am I paying a membership? Then I get on the machines. I sweat on them, like on the exercise bike and on the treadmill and all that kind of stuff. But when I'm finished, I have to wipe them down myself. Excuse me, I bought a membership. Why should I have to wipe down machines? Well, Ron, it's your sweat. Clean it up. Why? Can't you hire people to do that? Why don't they give little kids jobs, you know, after school hours? You know, and give them a rag and a bottle of that cleaner, whatever the hell's in that thing. That plastic bottle of whatever. I don't know what's in there. Alcohol? I have no idea. Glass cleaner? I don't know what's in that thing. Yeah, just hire the kids to just wipe. Every time you see a member on the treadmill, leave the treadmill, run up and wipe it down, kid. I'll give you like $10 an hour for that. Why am I wiping down my own sweat? What is this? What is this? Do-it-yourself salad bar? I mean, come on, man. Why should I pay a membership and then have to wipe down my own crap? Please. It's like when I go to an expensive restaurant, you know. They have people that are washroom attendants. Have you been to any of these restaurants? They're very expensive. If the cost of the entree is over $60, they usually have a washroom attendant. And I've never been in a ladies' room. I'm sorry, I'm not perverted. I've never been in one. But I've been to men's rooms, and they hire some guy to stand there. Looks like he's been doing this like forever. It's his profession. What do you do professionally? Are you a IT expert? Are you into technology? Are you a plumber? Do you build houses? No, I'm a washroom attendant. Oh, I don't understand. What do you do? I don't know, actually. I stand near the door to embarrass people while they're peeing and taking a crap, and then when they leave, I give them a breath mint. Whoa. Did you go to school for that? No, that's the problem. I didn't go to school for that or for anything. It's a problem. I'm a washroom attendant, but I'm a good one, man. I am a good one. Can you imagine having a job where you're paid minimum wage to stand at the door inside the men's room all day? Well, it's a great job. I get to meet a lot of people. You're crazy, man. What kind of job is that? Washroom attendant. originally I thought that, you know, if I went to the bathroom, then it was their job to wipe my ass. I mean, why should I wipe my own ass if they got somebody standing there and they're paying him to help me out? I mean, you know, I just paid $110 for a steak and a potato. The least you can do when I go to the bathroom is wipe my ass for me. Can you do that? Is that a lot to ask? I don't think so. Not for those prices. It's a joke. It's a joke. I've been to some of these restaurants. I like a martini, please. And then you get the bill. It's $25. What? Did I buy the entire bottle? No, you just had a little bit of a drink. But it's an expensive restaurant. Gosh. For those prices, I should hire somebody to drink it for me. So anyway, getting back to the planet goodness. I will never go again. And it's not because of that particular facility. I will not go to a place where people, where the idea of it is that you take your own body sweat and your own body fluids and you excrete them into a puddle. That's not a gathering place for me. That's nothing that I would want to be a member to. Body excrement puddle membership. And by the way, while you're there, wipe down your own sweat, will you? God, no, I won't. Are you kidding me? I can work out at home and I don't have to wipe a damn thing down. I'm not going to a place where the idea is that in unison in a group we sweat on things. That's... Do you ever see a guy or a girl working out in those places and you can see the sweat dripping off their face? Wow. I mean, I would turn around and run for the hills. I'm going to go for a walk. Oh, God. This is also confusing to me. Yeah, we do some weird things. We really do. Do you ever go to the one of those museums and they show the progression of humans, you know, of man that starts with a monkey, turns into an ape, then turns into a Neanderthal, and then a butterfly, and then a walrus, and then all of a sudden human beings start to walk erect. They were all bent over like an 85-year-old man who, God, I'm getting close to that age someday. Oh, my God. And then they start to walk upright, you know, and then it's the progression of man, and then they have a figure of Donald Trump is like the, you know, in the line, and then after that everybody starts bending over and turning into apes again. Yeah, it's called devolution. We're not evolving, we're devolving. Anyway, that's another horrible job, working in a museum. Seriously? That's a horrible living. I'm sorry if you do that professionally, but what do? They stand in the room with all the art and all that stuff, and they just stand there, don't do anything. They just make sure nobody's stealing the art. I mean, like, what is the point of all of that? It's a very odd job. Yeah, what do you do all day? Oh, I just stand against the wall and I watch people and make sure nobody steals the Mona Lisa. It's a very, very odd situation. Have you ever had a job like that where your job is just to stand there? Don't do anything. You can't sit down. You can't walk around too much. Just stand there and make sure of nothing. Just make sure nothing happens. If nothing's happening at all, you're doing your job really well. And then when it's all over, you can go home and nothing happened. You see, this is what they do. Do you lock up at night? No. Not when it's over, I just walk out and then it's over. And I don't do anything. Well, do you pick up the garbage? No, it's not my job. No, what I do is I stand in the museum near a wall, and I just stand there. And sometimes I'll take my hands and put them behind my back, and sometimes I'll Not allowed to put my hands in my pocket because that doesn't look good. So I just stand there. That's what I do in the museum. I'm a museum guard. I don't know what I do, actually. Did you have to go to training? Yeah, I did. Did they give you an interview? Yes. What were some of the questions they asked for standing their job? They asked me if I can stand in one place for a long time, if I'm vapid and have nothing else to do ever. They asked me if I have any urinary problems to the point where I might have to go to the bathroom a lot. They don't like that. How long can I stand on my feet? Have I ever been in the Guinness Book of Records for standing on my feet for the longest time in my family? They asked me questions like that. Did they give you a drug test? No, there's no point, really. There was no point to doing that. Yeah, that's it. And they hired me on the spot. Interesting. You must have really looked like the perfect person to stand in a corner for 8 hours straight. Yep, well, that's what I do. That's what I do. What I can do. That's what I do, man. That's what I do. Support my family by standing in the corner. That's what I do. It's very, very strange. Very, 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 very strange. I have an interesting guest coming up on today's program. That'll be interesting at the time when it happens. How are you, by the way? How are you? How are you feeling? How's everything? Did you wake up this morning and everything felt good? Or did you wake up and say, ooh, what happened? I don't feel too good. What did I do last night? Nothing. I slept. I've talked about this before. Got to make sure you don't sleep wrong. You don't want to sleep wrong. Yeah, you don't want to sleep wrong. When you go to bed at night, I don't know what you're supposed to do to make sure you don't sleep wrong. Wake up in the morning, you should feel good. Don't feel too good. What happened? Must have slept wrong. Didn't know what I did wrong. I have no idea. I don't know how to sleep right. But I must have slept wrong. I don't know. Something I did. I don't know. I have a cramp in my foot. How'd you get a cramp? Must have slept wrong. I don't know what I did. I don't know. I was asleep. I had no idea. I've never met anybody that told me that they sleepwalk, and I've never seen anybody sleepwalk before. I guess that's like the epitome of exercise. Yeah, I'm sleeping, so I'm not really doing too much. I might as well go out and take a walk. What? Can you imagine that, walking in your sleep? That sounds rather dangerous. I think the problem with walking in your sleep is that you don't know that you didn't put any pants on. That would be a problem. If you see someone walking down the street with no pants on at all, don't think that they're crazy. They're probably just sleepwalking. They probably just slept wrong. You know what? I feel kind of daring tonight. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to put my pajamas on, brush my teeth. I might even floss. And then I'm gonna lie down, and I'm gonna sleep wrong tonight. Whoa, watch out! I'm sleeping wrong tonight. I can only do that one night in a row. I can't sleep wrong two nights in a row. That's too much to ask. I have no idea. I was told once that perhaps I had sleep apnea because I don't sleep through the night, and I sleep wrong. You see. So I went to a sleep doctor. I there's probably names for them, narco experts. I don't know what you call them. But I went to a sleep lab, and it was very freaky. They put me in a bed, and then they wired me up for sound. They put little adhesive pads on me. I had like 20 wires attached to me, and then I was attached to a machine. Can't sleepwalk that way. And then I would lie in bed and they'd say, okay, now go to sleep. We'll be in the next room monitoring you. Well, there's cameras all over the place. We'll be recording you. We'll be recording your pulses through the wired pads. Now you just relax and go to sleep. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, yeah. As long as I know that everything that I'm wired up completely and there's cameras all over the place watching my every move. Yeah, I can relax now. But eventually I fell asleep, And by the way, here's the odd part. The sleep technician, and they are there overnight with you. They're in a little room with a booth. Looks like a recording studio. The sleep technician was a very, very attractive young lady. She was in probably her mid-20s or early 30s, and she was wearing a lab coat. Ooh, baby. And I'm lying there in my underpants in a bed being monitored by her. Nothing is sexier than that. Yeah, that made me also very comfortable. So I wake up in the morning and she said, "Did you have a nice sleep?" I said, "Yes." I said, "What are the results?" "So I can't give you the results. That has to be analyzed." "What do you mean analyzed? You stood in the next room in a booth and watched my every move on a camera and recorded my every movement with the wires hooked up to me, and you can't tell me how I did?" "I can't. I'm not. That's not my job." "Oh God, stop with it's not my job stuff. I'll pay you. How much do they give to the technicians that review the data? What is that, like $20? I'll give you $20. How did I do?"
"You slept wrong."
"What do you mean I slept wrong?"
"I can't tell you that. You don't know how to sleep right."
"What do you mean I don't know how to sleep? I've been sleeping all my life, every single night."
"But you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong."
"Was it that I'm not closing my eyes?"
"No, you closed your eyes. You didn't. You got that part right."
"What did I do wrong? How am I sleeping wrong?"
"I can't tell you. It's not my job." Do you want me to go to your house and build a garage?"
"No."
"Well, that's not my job, so I don't do that. I know how to do it, but it's not my job."
"You don't make sense to me. None of you do."
"All right, Mr. Van Dam, you can go home now. Put your clothes on. Don't forget that part. And I'm going to give you a little tip about how to sleep right."
"What is it? What's the tip, Susan?" I think her name was Susan. She had a little plaque on her, little name badge on her lab coat, and I think it was Susan or Sasquatch, something like that. Began with an S. Sarah, Seamus, I don't know.
"So I'm going to give you a little tip. When you go to bed at night..."
"Yeah?"
I can't do this. I can't tell you."
"Oh, God. Anyway, there you have it. So, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know how to sleep right. I never got the report. Well, I did. My doctor told me that, Ron, you're not sleeping right. Well, okay, that's what they told me at the sleep lab. What am I supposed to do?"
"I can't tell you. I'm your doctor, but I can't. I'm not a sleep expert. I can't tell."
"You know where the sleep experts are? In the mattress stores. They wear the lab coats." "Yes, I'd like to buy a mattress."
"Well, I'm the sleep expert, so I can help you with a mattress."
"Those are the sleep experts." All right. My guest follows momentarily. First, we're going to have a commercial message. It's a very short message. It's not going to bother you too much. And when we come back, my guest will be here. Okay? Is that cool? Can you handle that?
Hey. This is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to bring you...
It's headshots, Bobby.
Headshots? The hell is that?
It's your restaurant, Bobby? Your Italian restaurant?
No, that's not right.
Trust me, okay?
I think it's Cop Arts. I'm in Cop Arts. Really, because I know Cop Arts.
Can you maybe just read the weekly specials and then we're done?
You need your breaks done?
Read the specials, Bobby.
Chicken piazzole. The hell is that?
Pretty sure it's chicken with tomato sauce and peppers and pasta.
$14 for that? Jesus, what a ripoff. Maybe I should be offering a special on replacing alternators.
That's not what you do.
Oh. This week only, we'll check your transmission and change your oil.
Maybe get back to the specials.
Now that's worth $14. Mention
nice.
My name, Bobby Marone, and I'll rotate your tires.
Thursday night is ravioli night. How about you read that one for me, Bobby?
Check engine light coming on.
Bobby?
My guys will just rip out the wires. You don't need
guys,
that.
Guys, he's not coming
Got
back.
Got a taillight out? Our expert technicians will replace it for you. At Headshots. What a stupid name for a car parts place.
It's not that great for a restaurant either.
There's a restaurant called Headshots? I'd go there.
Dr. Dana Varble joins us. She's been with us before. She's chief veterinary officer at the North American community. A veterinary community. I'm going to start again.
Okay.
See, your mic works. My mouth doesn't. Dr. Dana Varble joins us now. She's Chief Veterinary Officer of the North American Veterinary Community. And we're also joined by Gene O'Neill, who's Chief Executive Officer of NAVC as well. Hey, thanks for being with us today. I understand that you're live on site somewhere.
Yes, we are live from Orlando, Florida, at the Orlando Orange County Convention Center.
Wow, pretty cool. That's nice that you can be together in a place.
Yeah, it really is good to see people milling about.
Very nice. Okay, we're talking about, of course, pets and veterinary practices. Let's talk about the COVID-19 thing as we hopefully round the corner from that. We never talk about the pets. We talk about going back to work and their mental situation where they're not going to be with people as much as they were during the past year. But that's about it. We don't talk about how COVID might have affected them in a physical manner. Is that possible?
Well, we did see some COVID-19 in pets, but we've been very lucky in that COVID-19 has not been a significant animal disease. And there's been no evidence to show it moves from animals to people.
Mm-hmm.
But we've certainly seen that more and more animals have been adopted this year, and there's been a greater need for veterinary care than ever.
Yeah, that's for sure. Try to get an appointment. I'm sorry to say that, but I mean, that's great that animals are being infused into our population. I think that's a great thing, but it does involve care. And like human beings, we have all different kinds of specialties and concerns medically. And it's the same with pets, isn't it?
It's very true, yeah. We're very lucky this week because here at VMX, we've got veterinarians from all over the U.S., and many other veterinarians are joining us through VMX Virtual to learn all the greatest innovations in animal health to help those pets live longer, better quality lives.
I understand from some data here that I have from you that the number of pets that were adopted during the previous year, the percentage is staggering.
Yeah, we've heard reports up to 13 million pets were adopted in 2020. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. And they all have to be tended to and seen.
Absolutely.
Especially those that were somehow able to get a puppy, which was not easy to do at a point and still isn't. But that requires a good regimen at the beginning, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We always want our puppies to get good preventative care, things like vaccinations and parasite treatment so that they can live good lives right from the start.
Yeah, it's very, very important. I'm one of those 13 million people, and I'm going through that now. It's very interesting. It's you know, I thought at my age I wouldn't have children anymore, and it feels like I do.
Yeah, in many ways, puppies are just like having another child.
Yes, it's very interesting. Children don't play bite me, but
no, so usually.
There's a whole other dimension involved there. Okay. Let's indeed talk about the loneliest aspect because it mm-hmm. does come into play for real, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, Ron, nothing became more obvious last year than the importance of the human-animal bond. In a time where we were separated from so many of our friends and our families, we really did turn to our pets for comfort, to help us reduce stress, and just to have something to connect with during that time.
Yeah. So how do you make the transition when not necessarily do you go back to work? I mean, we hope everybody is, but people are mm-hmm. out more than they used to, and you can't bring your pets everywhere, nor should you. So how indeed do you make that transition psychologically for the pet?
Yeah, Ron, that's a great question, and it's something we've been giving a lot of thought to because we've so often thought that we would start going back to work earlier than we actually have. And I made some great recommendations about, you know, getting out and about more in small chunks. So many of us have more flexible work situations and can work half days or maybe spend a day at home to help our pets make that gradual transition back to our work lives.
Very interesting. Can I ask you a question? It's a little bit off the beaten path here.
Please do.
Thank you. I'm confused about pet insurance.
I'm
confused enough about human insurance. I don't know whether to enter into that or not. And I know you can't give me your opinion necessarily in one way or the other. But I mean, pet insurance is a thing, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I actually think that pet insurance is a lot less complicated than our insurance, thank goodness. But it's something that is relatively new, but I definitely encourage everyone to take a look into it because what we find is that a lot of pet owners don't realize that they're going to encounter some unexpected health situations in their pets through their lives, whether it's dental disease or a true emergency. It's really nice to have that insurance safety net for many, many pet owners.
Okay. Another question. Thank you. I feel like I should be paying you per question here. You're giving me professional
advice.
I'll send
you my consult bill. It's okay, though.
Now I do need that insurance after all. Flea and tick stuff. Better the products that are internally ingested or the ones that are rubbed on the back neck?
Well, Ron, you know, there is some variation. Some pets do have sensitive skin or sensitive tummies, so you're going to want to talk to your veterinarian about what's going to be best for your pet's individual situation. Also, what products work best in your area, because we do find that there's some differences just pet to pet and locality to locality. I always encourage everyone to talk to their vet about that, though, because flea and tick medication is so important, not only for your pet's health, but it actually helps the spread of other diseases as well.
Well, just try sitting in your living room without any socks on when there's fleas in the couch. That's not
exactly
fun.
Exactly. Yeah. No one wants that.
Yeah. So when are you going to start the Dana Varble and Gene O'Neill pet show? Because
anytime. Is that an invitation?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, there's so many people interested. I mean, these are just indicated. These are just a few questions. I could sit here all day and ask you questions. So I don't know. But
everyone loves their pets.
Yeah, they do. So now, where would we go for more information? I'm sure people do have some questions.
Yeah, so I think if your listeners would like to visit more and learn more about what NAVC provides, the best place to get that information is on NAVC.com.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see about all of our live events, all of our virtual events, and all of our online learning opportunities. And there are some things for pet parents there that they can learn, and they can rest assured that their veterinarians are really getting the best information, the best ideas and innovations that they can use to work more efficiently.
Sounds great. Also, I mean, a whole nother topic of conversation is be careful where you do get your pets from, but that's a whole nother thing, maybe some other time. So it's NAVC.com, is that correct?
That's correct.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time, but please don't send me a bill.
Okay, we'll make a deal.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pro bono.
All right, I love that. I love that phrase. Well, that'll do it for me today, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace. We'll be right back.